Call this meeting to order of the Senate Transportation Committee. Let the record reflect, it is 1:03 p.m. on Tuesday, February 9th, 2016. We're in the Butcherich Room 205. Let the record show we have a quorum to do business. We have Senator Dunleavy, Senator Stedman, Senator Egan, and myself, Chair Machicki. Senator Bishop is at the Joint Armed Services Committee meeting and will be here when he can. I'd like to recognize our committee staff, Ann Krekelberg from State Records, Senate Records, LIO staff Jessica Hamlin, and my trusty staff, Lynn Smith. I'd like to remind everyone to please turn off your cell phone. The purpose of today's meeting is Senate Bill 132, Electronic Tax Returns and Motor Fuel Tax, requested by the governor. Public testimony will be taken and will be left open. Committee members have received copies of letters of support and opposition that my office has received since last week. They've also been posted on BASIS. And we have a CS before us today, which is really the reason for the meeting. First thing I want to do is have a motion to adopt the CS.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt CSSB 132 version H as our working document.
Any
Somebody's going to object.
Object? Thank you. Purposes of explanation and discussion. And Lynn Smith will present the changes. Okay. Just to clarify for the record, I objected for purposes of explanation since the good Senator Dunleavy moved the bill.
Hi, Ben Smith, staff to Senator Machicki. Basic changes to the CS remove the electronic submission of a tax return or report where the Department of Revenue has been removed from this bill. Should be looked at in another committee. Emily Nauman from Ledge Legal might address that more when she has a chance to talk later. Also, it has a trigger figure in here, so if the average price per barrel of oil during a previous calendar year is more than $85, the taxes revert to the current rates. There's also been an addition of two fuel tax exemptions. One is fuel that's used in an emergency vehicle. Another one is fuel used for student transportation services, for which a school district receives funding under AS 1409010. And then Legal has also made some other statutory changes, which Emily can address those as well. And the new taxes will sunset on July 1st, 2018. Like, I can walk you through all the sections in the new bill. Or I can refer to my lifeline, Jerry Burnett, or Emily Nauman.
Committee members, any questions before we walk through the bill, or you just have questions as we go through? Okay, let's just walk through the bill, sort of a summary, if you will.
Okay, section one of the bill is where the $85 price trigger comes in. So if subsection one on page one, if the average price per barrel is more than $85 during the previous calendar year, the taxes return to the current prices for the dealers. And also in section one is the tax increase that was proposed in the governor's original bill, and you'll find that in subsection two on page two. Section two of the bill.
Oops. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, do you want the questions as we go through the through the sections, or do you want us to wait till we adopt it as our working document?
Wait. No, we're happy to take questions.
Okay. I'm a little bit curious on why 85 was selected and what revenue is triggered at 85, revenue expectations, and then that relationship between the tax increase in the revenue generation. My understanding, we're somewhere in the $30 range now, and it doesn't appear to be a whole lot of expectations for the $85 range.
Right, so I can answer that. There were a couple things that I was interested in doing with this bill, and we had help from Senator Dunleavy and Senator Bishop. First of all, I think it's important that we explain to Alaskans that we're not interested in getting into the tax business. We're interested in filling a gap, and this bill is designed to help fill a gap. We're likely going to do other measures, such as repurposing our existing financial assets that will fill the remainder of the gap below the 85. And my thought was once you got to that level for an entire fiscal year, that the state would likely be whole as far as funding goes. The reason for the sunset, which I know you didn't ask about, but the reason for the sunset is a similar reason. It will cause us to revalidate the need for that revenue in 2 years after the 2018 session. And then the other changes, of course, we didn't have questions yet, but we'll have Senator Dunleavy talk about the exemptions as well. Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I appreciate your response back on the $85 trigger, but we have a Department of Revenue. I'd much rather have Department of Revenue answer the question, give us some expectations at $85 a barrel. I'm concerned with the credits that are folding against the Treasury and the overall implications. It's not as clear-cut as, in my opinion, as it may appear on the surface.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman. This is Jerry Burnett, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. Depending on a number of factors, what happens in this legislative session with the floor, with credits, et cetera, $85 is above where the minimum tax is triggered. And so at a price somewhere in the $80 range, you have rapidly increasing revenues. So whether this is the right price or another price is something we can continue to discuss as the bill moves through the process. But this is past the point of inflection where you start having rapidly increasing revenues. It's still well below and under the current system and the way we've done the budget in previous years. It's well below what we need for balancing the budget.
As a follow-up, so I think the minimum tax is $350 million, somewhere in that range. I don't have my notes with me, but I think it's somewhere down in there. So we're stuck in that range until roughly, from what I, if I heard you correctly, somewhere around the $80-$85. We move out of that range. $450 million doesn't do much to run the state of Alaska. And there's a big difference between being on the minimum tax on our severance and being in the tax range in which the severance is actually producing something meaningful to the Treasury. So that's the concern. So maybe you can help me with that understanding.
Well, to the chair, Senator Stedman, I didn't choose the number, obviously. Your chair did. $85, as I say, is where we're starting to experience rapidly increasing revenues, but it is certainly well below, as you say, what's required to balance the budget in the current fiscal system.
Thank you.
So I'll provide my logic, and my logic for that is that we continue to expect downward pressure on the budget where possible. And when we look at these revenue measures, in my view, they're emergency management. They're not sustainable funding in the future. And I feel if you get up to a price point on oil that's too high, it encourages getting back into an atmosphere where we're going to increase costs significantly. So may not be the perfect balance point, but it is the point. I think at $82, things shift very positive on production taxes. I allowed a distance between that $82 and $85, and we can always revisit that in the future if it's not the right break point. Okay.
Okay. Section 2 is the sunset of Section 1 of the bill, and that would be on July the 1st, 2018. Section 3 is, again, the $85 triggered point, and this time it's for the fuel that's consumed, not by the fuel dealer. And also in that section is the governor's original language, is the tax as proposed. Section 4 would be the sunset of Section 3. Section 5 is Senator Dunleavy add the amendment to add the two new fuel tax exemptions. And I don't know if you might want to speak to those, Senator Dunleavy.
Senator? Through the chair, just briefly, my druthers would have been to exempt everybody from the tax. And so this was an attempt to mitigate to some degree the issue for especially nonprofit like a school district and emergency services, ambulance, fire, that sort of thing. So I don't want anyone to think that I put this in there because I necessarily support the bill. I'm hoping it, just in case it squeaks out of here, at least we've got something in there that exempts these two outfits, these two services. But that was the idea. And like I said, I'm not sure if it would have been realistic to, you want to exempt everybody, you don't pass the bill. But if it's going to squeak out, I figured we'd go with these two groups, schools and emergency services, as an exemption.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just kind of curious, home heating oil, that is included or excluded from this bill?
So just to clarify that none of the other exemptions have changed except for the two that the senator, the rest is existing language, Senator Stedman. So the only addition is 13 and 14 to the exemption list.
Right, so we'll take up my concern when we take up the bill after the adoption of the CS.
Sections 6 and 7 also are language that relate to section number 5. Section 8 is the refund rate for the off-road use as proposed by the governor. Section 9 is the sunset of Section 8. Section 10 was put in by legislative legal for some cleanup language, and I'd like to ask Emily Nauman to explain those changes, please.
Emily, are you online with us? If you can please state your name for the record and explain that section.
Sure. This is Emily Nauman. I'm with Legislative Legal Services, for the record. And I wanted to make sure I heard you right. You asked about the changes made in Section 10. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Section 10 deletes the current exemptions for motor fuels, which appear in the definition of motor fuel, which is in direct violation of our legislative drafting manual. Under our drafting manual, a definition section can only contain just that, a definition, and cannot contain substantive law. So in this bill, we've moved the exemptions to motor fuel into the body of the substantive law, and that appears in Section 4. So Section 4 is exactly what's in the law now. It's just moved, with the exception of the exceptions explained by Senator Dunleavy for emergency vehicle and student transportation services.
So to just for the actual function of the bill, it changes nothing. It's just a legislative legal cleanup. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep. We're just moving that language from one place to its correct location.
Thank you. Do you have any other comments, Emily?
At this time, I don't, but I'm happy to take any questions that people have about the changes that this office made to the bill.
Okay.
Section 11 of the bill is the applicability. Section 12 is the transitional language allowing for regulations to implement the changes. Section 13 is the immediate effective date of Section 12. Section 14 is the effective date of July 1, 2018 for Sections 2, 4, and 9. And Section 15 is the effective date of July 1, 2016 for the rest of the bill.
Thank you. I remove my objection. So we now have CS for Senate Bill number 132 before us. Questions about the bill? Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, could I just get a little review of home heating fuel and how that is handled in this bill, please?
Mr. Burnett?
Yeah, through the chair to Senator Stedman. Home heating fuel is not taxed as a motor fuel. It is the only tax that I'm aware of on home heating fuel is a surcharge of 0.95 cents per gallon for oil for spill prevention response fund.
Okay. Other questions from committee members? Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jerry, can you give me an example of a charitable institution? I mean, does it include churches or what does it include? In section 5, number 5?
Line 30, page 6.
To the chair, that's an existing, to the chair, to Senator Egan, that is an existing exemption, right? Charitable organizations, I would believe, would be include churches, it would include corporations that are under the 501c3 designation in the federal tax code. So that would be certain types of educational entities, charitable entities.
Other questions, Senator?
So, yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. So would an organization like Capital Community Broadcasting or K2, would they be exempt?
To the chair, to Senator Egan, I'm not aware of what their exemption status is. If they're
501, yeah.
Yeah, depends on whether they're C501, C4, or C3. There's a whole bunch of different possibilities for a nonprofit, some of which are charitable and some of which are not.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. We have the bill before us. We're going to go to public testimony today. I don't plan on trying to move the bill today. I think our job in transportation, we're the first folks or the first committee on the Senate side to receive this particular revenue bill. I know that none of us feel very good about considering revenue measures. If this bill does move, of course, it goes to finance and for further processing. But what we've tried to do as a committee on this bill so far is to send a message that we are not in the revenue business. We've liked a lower cost Alaska to our residents, but I also recognize that we have a significant fiscal gap, and I see this, if it does move forward, as somewhat more of a user fee than a it's obviously a tax. I'm not trying to get away from using the word tax, but it causes you to use these refined fuels and motor fuels in order to be taxed on these fuels. And we'll see where it goes from here. But clearly our goal of the bill is to make it only as needed and not to get in the business of building fund balance if those funds are not needed to support our government. So let's move on to public testimony. And I only see... I see two online right now. We'll start with Mr. Sturman from Kenai. Mr. Sturman, are you online?
I'm here. Hey,
Fred, could you identify yourself from the record?
Okay, I'm Fred Sturman, and I P.O. Box 513, Soldotna 252-0100, if you ever want to call me. And I live at 136 Riverview, Soldotna. I am, of course, definitely against this building. I hope you just sit on it and let it die. But if you're going to let it go, number one is, sunset is every year, not back in 2018. And you need to lower that rate from 80-some dollars a barrel, which it probably ain't going to get there for the next 10 to 15 years, to 85 bucks. Need to lower that down to about $55 for an exemption. And the other thing, too, I do not like any exemptions. If you're going to pass a bill, all pay. If you buy gas, you buy diesel, you buy anything, you pay, regardless of what you are. If you're a state agency, if you're a government agency, if you're whatever you are, or any exemptions of any description, there's no excuse for exempting anybody from this tax. And it is a tax. I don't want you to consider it as a user fee. So that's kind of where I stand at this, and I'm very disappointed that you guys would even consider a tax until you have cut at least 30% out of this budget, which is at least $1 billion. Because the people is hurting. If you're going to put all these taxes on, you're going to take the non-discretionary funds out of the communities, and it will do nothing but make us worse than the 1980s. I've already talked to one lady in Soldotna that she's closing her business in April because she is very disappointed in what they are, and there's six other people here that is right now got moving sales that is leaving the state. So you people better be really careful how you increase any taxes before you cut at least $1 billion out of this bill. And your pencils, I think, is on the way.
Thank you, Mr. Sturman. I still have your pencil from last year. It's much shorter than it was.
I hope it gets really short.
Thank you, Fred. Next, we have Nancy Hillstrand with Pioneer Alaskan Fisheries. Nancy, if you can please state your name for the record and affiliation, and we're ready for your testimony.
Yes, hello. My name is Nancy Hillstrand, and I'm a seafood processing plant in Homer, Alaska, called Pioneer Alaskan Fisheries and Cold Point Seafoods. I believe we do need to take action. I definitely support this bill. And I agree that we need to fill this gap with any kind of revenue generator that allows us to stand on our own feet. Alaska has become a kind of like a beggar, and I don't like the hope that we always hold out on hoping that we're going to be bailed out of this problem that we have. We need to be able to stand on our own 2 feet and pay our way. So please try to do something with this bill. I think it's super important that something like this that is based on need will be, it'll give the opportunity of people to make the choice to either use a lot of it or use a little bit of it. And it saves money if they choose to save money. You know, so it's really a great way to fill this gap. I don't think, also, I agree with Fred there, that I do believe that there should be no exemptions, just straight across the board, and because it's just something that we've just come off this huge high cost of fuel, and we survived that, and so we know that pretty much everyone can try to pitch in here. We need to all pitch in on what's going on here, because we are in deep trouble here. So it's important that you do cut the budget more. I agree on that one also, but we need to also supplement what we are doing and start to stand on our own 2 feet, and all of us can pay on this one. And it's great. It's just a great thing. So, anyway, I'm in full support, and I hope good luck to you guys, because this is it's a really big process that you're going through right now. So, thank you very kindly. I appreciate it, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Nancy. It's good to hear from you. That's all I have on. So, unless there are any other questions from committee members, we're going to keep public testimony open. Plan on getting together Thursday, so bring your questions. I don't think is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? I recognize everyone, so I don't think there are. Yes, sir. Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I got a couple comments. I'm still a little concerned on this bill with the trigger price of 85. It's related to production. It's not just price alone. Production projections are at best flat in the immediate future and to decline. Moving off of our floor doesn't get us to a solvent budget or minimum tax floor. And I'd like to see have revenue bring back some projections from, say, $70 to $90 a barrel, so we can get an idea of how much this quickly accelerating tax structure will recoup the Treasury, because I think this bill is I'm suspect that at $85 to $86 to $87 the issue goes away, and I'd like to see some projections run that actually show that inclination is incorrect.
Thank you, Senator. Since we just received the committee substitute today, we'll hold on to this until Thursday at least and keep public testimony open. We'll ask for some of those projections. Ask for those projections. There are many other moving levers that you have to add to it. That doesn't really get you there, but perhaps I'll ask for some of those levers to be considered as well before Thursday, and it'll give us an idea of, again, it'll help illustrate my vision for that price point, and it might help out a little bit more with a decision from the committee. So, okay, with that, we have nothing further before us. This meeting is adjourned at 1:30.